You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. When I went to Pistons games at the Palace growing up, sometimes we'd have a parking pass. I'm not sure if you ever had one of these in this era, but if you got a reserve parking spot to get in free to the lots, the Palace-owned lots that generated a lot of money for the franchise, if you had one of these passes, you could park in this little area that was barreled off closer to the entrance. It was a rectangle closer to the front by the entrance, and you could park in there. It was nice to get in. But when you left, if you were getting back on the highway, like almost everybody going to these games was, you'd have to go out through a front entrance to get out. The barrels sort of kept you from working your way through the parking lot out the back where there was an exit straight to the expressway. So if you wanted to get on the expressway, you'd have to go out, fight through the traffic, exiting onto Lapeer Road, which takes a while. You'd have to go down Lapeer Road a little bit, which takes a while. You'd have to go through half the entrance ramp to the expressway, which takes a while, just to get to this point in the entrance ramp where people who parked in the back of the parking lot, an area you really couldn't get to with this parking pass in this era, even if you wanted to. That's not where they'd direct you. You'd have to go through all that length just to get to where the people in the back of the parking lot were getting out. So what did we do? Of course, we'd drive up to the barrel. Somebody would hop out of the car and move them. It's one of the things I remember about going to Pistons games when I was growing up. Last night was the final game at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Pistons lost to the Wizards. We'll talk a little bit more about what that final game meant. But I was there covering the game. Did my post-game responsibilities. It was a pretty quick night. I didn't really have much interest in talking to the current Pistons players. I don't think they have the necessary perspective on the Palace for what I was working on. That's no fault to them. I grew up in Michigan going to Pistons games, being familiar with the Palace. I'm guessing if you listen to this podcast, a lot of you have similar stories to the one I just told and your own memories of going to the Palace. These players do not. They played here, and they have some perspective, but this is not their arena. This is a relatively new roster. It's not players who have accomplished much at the Palace. They haven't even been here that long just to be here. So it didn't go very long after the game. The greats who were there, Isaiah Thomas, Chauncey Billups, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, a lot of those guys, John Sally, they came into the media room during halftime, after the little ceremony at halftime. They came in and did their interviews there. So those were already wrapped up well before the game even ended, well before the fourth quarter started. And so there was just the current players left to talk to after the game. It didn't take very long. It didn't take as long as it usually takes. Usually by the time I get out of the Palace, everything's pretty cleared out or close to it. But I was done. I walked outside into that media parking lot, which is also closed in and near the front entrance. I went to my car, looked around, ran into somebody who said, "Hey, I'm going back inside." There was another reporter. He said, I'm going back inside. Traffic's too backed up. You're going to get on 75. It's going to take a while. I've got a little bit of work to do. I'm just going to do it here rather than doing it when I get back." So that's not a bad idea. But then I looked around, said, "No, I'm going to do something a little different." So I got in my car, drove up to the barrels, jumped out, enjoyed the beautiful spring air while not wearing a coat, moved the barrel to the side, worked my way through the back of the parking lot, got right on the entrance ramp, and made a quick trip down I-75. Almost just like old times. The only thing that was different, I had to get on I-75 south now. When I was growing up in Flint, you could get on I-75 north and beat even more traffic because everybody was fighting their way to get on the south ramp. But it was still nice just to have that memory. I'm sure you all have your own of the Palace and what makes it special. And remember those, because disappointedly, but somewhat predictably, last night was not the memory to hold and to remember as far as the game, as far as how things went. The Pistons lost to the Wizards. So that's going to separate the last game at the Palace from the last game at Tiger Stadium and the last game at Joe Louis Arena, sort of the other two similar events in Detroit sports. The Tigers beat the Royals, the Red Wings beat the Devils, and there was some ending to it that you're going to remember. Robert Fick's Grand Slam is going to be a part of Tiger Stadium lore. Sheehan scoring those two goals and breaking his scoreless streak, that's going to be part of Joe Louis Arena lore. Those aren't the big moments. Those aren't up there with World Series and Stanley Cups, but there's something. Last night, as far as within the game itself, there was nothing. The Pistons were sitting players. They were experimenting with lineups. They were going against another team sitting players. The best player on either team is John Wall. He was there in street clothes. This was not a meaningful game in any sense. I don't mean just meaningful as far as trying to make the playoffs, because that's not what the last game at Joe Louis was about. That's not what the last game at Tiger Stadium was about. But there was a meaningfulness to the game based on how it went. That wasn't the case last night. And quite honestly, even beyond that, even around that, there wasn't as much meaning. The Red Wings put on a fantastic ceremony after the game at Joe Louis. The Pistons sort of called out their stars of yesteryear, all these former great players. They brought them out. They brought out the three championship trophies, and they posed for pictures, which was okay. That was fine. But the Red Wings had speeches and people talking and addressing things and giving great speeches and a very nice ceremony set up. This was just sort of rushed and quick at halftime and definitely not the same experience. And so I didn't watch the game on TV because I was there, but also from what I can gather talking to everybody who watched it on TV, it being on TNT, which I initially thought, that would make this a little more special, took away from it. Because it wasn't George Blaha doing the game on Fox Sports Detroit. It wasn't the presentation that we all know and love. Great that Blaha apparently did some of the game on radio in the second half. That was nice. And to have Mark Champion, I presume, do the first half on radio. That's nice. But if you're at home and want to watch it on TV, it was not that experience that you were hoping for. And so this last game is not going to be part of the Palace lore. It didn't have the levels of nostalgia. Just trucking out the trophies and trucking out the players doesn't quite do it. It was nice. It was fine. But there wasn't the connection. It was just sort of like displaying it. Here they are. It wasn't any deeper connection than that. The rarest treat was Dennis Rodman bringing out the game ball for the jump ball. That was pretty unexpected. Nobody really knew Dennis Rodman would be there. At least the media didn't. Joe Dumars was not there. That's a little less surprising. But those are the type of players who you thought, they're not going to be the kind to show up. Isaiah Thomas is going to be the type of person to show up. This is his stage. He thrives on stuff like this. He was going to be there. But some of these other guys weren't. Rasheed Wallace wasn't there. That one was a little surprising. But everybody has their own commitments and has moved on since this. Not everybody can make it back. This was, a Monday night in April that might not have been the most convenient for everybody. And that's okay. The Red Wings, though, they did a better job of getting everybody back. Not everybody. Brendan Shanahan wasn't there. Some meaningful people in Red Wings history weren't there. But I think they overall did a better job bringing everybody back and then having those things that foster a deeper connection. That said, the Pistons had a couple nice videos play. That could have been tearjerkers if you're in the right mood, if you're inclined to view them that way. So there was some nice stuff. I believe at least one of those videos is making its way around online. I recommend going to check that out. Just about the theme of it is if these walls could talk. I thought that was very well done. Definitely one of the highlights of the night was that video playing. And it was cool to have all the former players back. The two eras, the Bad Boys era and the Going to Work era. The two eras that made the Pistons great at two different times at the Palace. To have them there to see them interact a little bit. That was cool. But the Palace is going to probably have a special place to you for reasons other than last night. So, one, check out that video. Two, I wrote an article about the last game of the Palace closing. You can find that in NBC Sports. Check that out. Three, remember the Palace for what's important to you. Don't get caught into the contrived idea that because this is the last thing, you have to remember this and care about this last game. There were a lot of great things that happened at the Palace. Remember those. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is David Locke, founder of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks so much for tuning in to your favorite Locked On podcast. We have something really special going on here. We are the only daily local podcast format in the country, and we are one of the only places for local companies to be able to advertise on a podcast serving the fans, the listeners that want your product locally. No other podcast network does this for you. And that's why we want you to advertise right here on your favorite Locked On podcast. Our audience is 98% male. It's about 77% between the ages of 25 and 54, and also 77% between 18 and 44. So you're hitting the core demographic. If your company wants men 25 to 54 or 18 to 44, then you should advertise right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'd love to have you. Our rates are reasonable. It's all based on the amount of listens. So you can email me, David Locke, at dlock09@gmail.com, or contact your host. We'd love to have you aboard, joining in with the great success that we're having on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.